Hello, Voice of Truth Church. I'm so sorry we were not able to gather for worship this morning. Obviously, God had other plans for this morning, and so I wanted to come. And you know, this is just going to be a short little sermon, but we're going to look at a passage in Luke chapter 6, the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. And so I'm going to read this to you. I do apologize if you hear any kid noise in the background. But this is Luke chapter 6, verse 37 from the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're just going to cover this today, just as in lieu of meeting this morning. But Luke chapter 6, it says in verse 37, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be used back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." So this is a really good passage for this day and age, because we spend lots of time online, on social media. We spend a lot of time watching news. We spend a lot of time in front of our TVs, seeing the hard things that are going on in our world. And our temptation is to judge, to stand in judgment over others. And so we need this reminder today of what it looks like to live a life of forgiveness that honors Christ and represents Christ to our world. And we're going to learn even today that in order for us to understand forgiveness or to follow through on forgiveness, we have to understand the forgiveness that we have in Christ. So the main point from this text today is a life of forgiveness comes from following Christ and Christ-like leadership. A life of forgiveness comes from following Christ and Christ-like leadership. Now, this passage is often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. It can also be referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. And what's really important about that is that they were on a mountain, Jesus and his disciples, and it's called Tabqa, I'm probably saying that wrong, near Capernaum. It's on a ridge of the hills in the northwest town. And it had a magnificent view of Galilee, but it was on a plateau. So it is a plain in the sense that it's flat, but it's also up on a mountain. And so Jesus is using this because, of course, he is God in human flesh. He knows his creation, but he's actually using it for the acoustics. He's using it because his voice can be heard to people who are far from him and people who are close. And in fact, there was probably thousands of people listening as he was teaching, even though he was teaching most likely to, primarily to his disciples who were there with him. And so this is a very mostly Jewish audience that he's speaking to. And there was a culture. There was a culture that was reinforced by thousands of years of their history. The Jews were trying to follow the laws of the Old Testament. They wanted to be close to God, and oftentimes that looked like being religious was a way of being close to God. So the culture that was created was there were those who were strict Jewish religious elite known as the Pharisees or the scribes or the Sadducees, and they had a claim on being closer to God and felt like they were somehow elevated above others because of their knowledge of the Bible or because of the laws that they followed. And so there was a constant culture of keeping those under the thumb of the religious elite of this time. And so that this was a common thing to judge others. It was accepted to say, "I am somehow better than you or closer to God than you." And so Jesus preaching this was very, very controversial. Jesus took to come out and to say, "I'm bringing a new culture. I'm bringing a new way of living. I'm bringing a new message." And so he was telling them that judgment will ultimately be met with judgment, and forgiveness will be met with forgiveness. That's the first point today. And he says it very clearly. He says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged." You can see this, you give judgment and you will receive judgment. "Condemn not, and you will not be condemned," verse 37. "Forgive, and you will be forgiven." And so he's saying this verbatim, judgment will be met with judgment, forgiveness will be met with forgiveness. So give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. In other words, the measure, he says, you use, it will be measured back to you. So here we're seeing that those that live a life of judgment, unrepentant judgment, will be met with judgment. And when it says judge not, it's not talking about a litigious type of judgment. It's not talking about the courtrooms where justice is handed down to criminals. But this is rather a relational judging. This is a relational judging, an internal, maybe even verbal judging. And sometimes this judgment it's compared to murder. And that sounds really harsh to think about judgment being compared to murder. But the reality is that isn't that the final death sentence? That's the final sentence of judgment, is killing another person where you deserve to live, but this person you've determined does not deserve to live. Well, that's the ultimate pinnacle of judgment. And so this same mentality of elevating yourself, saying I deserve this and they deserve this, is what we are told to stop doing. Stop judging others. Well, what's so interesting about this language that's used, it's the same language that we actually are condemned. He uses the word condemned here as a synonym for judgment. And it's a very interesting word, because when we think of condemn, we immediately go to God condemning sinners to hell. That's where our brains go. The condemnation of sinners is right, because God is just and he's holy and he's perfect. And so the reality is that these Pharisees, the leadership of this time, they don't realize that they've missed a key point in their belief system. And the key point is that there is no amount of good that we can manufacture in ourselves to overcome sin. Sin is damning. It is what we will be condemned for. And the reality is no matter how holy you look on the outside, that does not ultimately save you. You can look great. God, Jesus called them whitewashed tombs, is what he used as a metaphor. He says, you look so great on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. And so the point is if we all see ourselves in the right light, then we will actually give charitably in the way we think about others, rather than in judgment towards others. And so you can imagine people being floored by this message that Jesus is giving, because all they've ever known is a culture of judgment, being one person being above another based on their holiness, keeping the laws of the Old Testament. And this sin, one of the reasons this sin is being addressed and why it is a difficult sin to address in our lives, is because it's so sneaky. It's a sneaky sin, because so often judgment is something that only happens up here. It happens in our minds, it happens in our hearts, and then sometimes it comes out of our mouths with our family, with our close friends. And so the thing that is so sad about this sin is that so often it's something we daily wrestle with, we daily commit this sin, and it becomes just part of our like breathing. It's like breathing. We are on a regular basis, we're doing it without even realizing it. But think about this on the flip side. And this is where the whole judge and you will be judged is, can you imagine? So we had a college professor. I had a college professor in a marketing class, and she used to say, all the time. And it would happen 100 times in one class of an hour and 15 minutes. And I remember one time I was just bored in this class, and I kept a tally of every time she said or. And I just kept writing tallies, just doodling in my notebook, just because I was bored. Well, imagine if there was someone, which there is, and we're going to clarify this, but imagine if there was someone following you around all day with a notebook and noting every single time you did something sinful, every time you did something wrong, every time you had a critical or judgmental heart. Imagine someone keeping tabs on you. Your bad decisions, your good decisions, your bad thoughts, your good thoughts. Imagine having to read all of that to see how often you blew it in life, how often you sinned against another person. Well, it would be overwhelming. It would absolutely be overwhelming. And so the reality is all of us are condemned in our sin. We're equal with everybody else. There's no room for us to elevate ourselves above another person. There's no space for that in our life, because if we turn the camera back towards ourselves, we would see the whitewashed tomb. We would see the heart of sin, the stuff that we deal with, and it would be overwhelming. And so this is why the gospel is so good. This is why the gospel of Jesus Christ, it truly changes the way we should view life. Because those who have been forgiven much, forgive much. And so if you are in Christ, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus, Jesus died on the cross, took all of your sin on himself. He was judged so that you might not be judged before God. He was taking on the judgment of God, the wrath of God for our sins. And so now we are still sinners living in this flesh, in this life, but we have been saved by the forgiveness and grace of Jesus. And so this is the good news. Now, when we view other people, we don't view them in light of their sin. We don't view them or judge them or identify them based on their bad decisions that they've made. We view them through the lens of the gospel. The lens of the gospel, where we can actually look upon them with compassion. We can look upon them with love and forgiveness, and we can see them not as people to elevate ourselves above them, but rather for us to address them with the heart of Jesus Christ, that he forgives sinners. Now, I want to clarify something, because this is so important. This does not mean, R.C. Sproul says, the judgment of charity, in other words, having a charitable heart towards others, should never become the judgment of naivety. I want to clarify that. This is a really good quote, because we should still call certain things evil that are evil. We should still speak out against evil things in our world. We should still be bold, confident. We should not be rageful, but we should be confident and speak boldly according to the truth of the scriptures. We should stand on truth. And so we should speak against false teaching and abortion and all these things like this, because we are called to do so. We're to be the light of the gospel of truth. But we need to watch our hearts clearly. We need to see our sin clearly. We need to make sure that we are not looking out upon the sea of people in our life and seeing them only through the mistakes, the bad decisions that they've made with their lives. Because then we end up slowly doing this. We take God off the throne of judgment and we place ourselves on that throne of judgment. Now, next point. A critical leader is a blind leader. A critical leader is a blind leader. He also told them, verse 39, a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? Now, this passage can be confusing, but I want to clarify a few things from this text. That at the end of the day, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they are the one that are leading this culture. They're leading the Jewish people. They are setting the stage. And so what this means is that they're blind. They're blind to the reality of their sin, and they are blind in the sense that they are critical, judgmental leaders, and they will lead you into a pit. If you follow that leader, if you follow that person who is constantly judging, constantly elevating themselves, and this is why we should be warned of leaders, pastoral leaders, preachers who elevate themselves to a place of influence, and yet they spend all of their time looking down upon others. They live for their own name, their own platform. And so we should be critical of the people that we follow. But at the same time, we also need to make sure that we have people in our lives that lead us to forgiveness and grace for others. We need to have teachers in our lives. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. And so who do you follow? What are your main influences? I think this is so important because right now we are in a podcast culture. We are in very much a podcast social media culture. And so often the voices we listen to, the TV personalities that we listen to, lead us in a life of more judgment and less forgiveness and grace than they do, they lead us more into judgment than a mindset of forgiveness and grace towards others. And so we need to be aware, who causes us to get inflamed against others? Where have we created in our lives of a purely an us against them mentality? Where have we created a sense in which we think of those people, and then all we do is stew about those people? And what so often happens with things on social media and podcasts is that's how they speak. They want us angry. They want us judgmental. They want us to feel a sense of fear that someone is coming after me. And we spend so much time in that mindset that we don't actually go to those people, get to know them, love them while standing on truth. I want to clarify that. While standing on truth, being truthful about what is sin, what is not sin. But at the same time, we also need to put away that stuff. We need voices in our head that are preaching less judgment and more forgiveness, more grace, more prayer for those people. I mean, the scriptures are clear. Pray for your enemies. Jesus gets to that in one of the next passages. And so we need to put away some of that stuff that causes us to feel like we have some special knowledge about a group of people, that we're allowed to be just rageful towards them, judgmental of them, instead of praying for them. Now, this passage does clarify, though, you are responsible to help others with the speck, with the sin that might be in their life. But first, the passage is clear, we've got some work to do. See, we are responsible for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are. We're responsible for the speck in their eye. He says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now notice, Jesus does not say, ignore the speck in your brother's eye. He very clearly says, then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And I love this passage, because the point here is that we still need to be aware, as we are walking with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to know, what's the log in my eye? What's the log that is lodged in my eye where I'm not seeing clearly? Remember, he says, the blind leading the blind. He says, if you're blind yourself, you're not going to be able to lead someone else out of the sin they're struggling with. And so instead of judging your brother in Christ, instead of having a critical spirit constantly with your brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be working on ourselves, fighting our own sin, repenting of our sin, and at the same time, helping our brothers or sisters with the speck that's in their eye. And this is really important. We love each other, not in a judgmental way, not in a critical way, not in a selfish way, but we love each other by helping each other as we fight sin together. But we need to address, we need to stop avoiding our own mess while we get mixed up in other people's messes. And we need to address the issues that we're struggling with, the sins, the logs that are in our own eyes. And this looks like having a brother or sister in Christ that you confess to, that you share your sins with, that you're not alone. And the other thing that we often try to do, and this is one of the biggest issues that I think we struggle with as Christians, is that we so often want to deal with it on our own because we don't want other people to see our log in our eye. We don't want other people to see the mess in our lives, because that's us showing off that a little bit of that tomb, as it were. It's showing people the darkness that still seems to creep into our lives. But that's what the church is for. The church is absolutely here to walk together as we fight back the sin temptations that we have. But we cannot do it alone. And so we need to stop avoiding others with the things that we struggle with. We need to stop hiding our sins. We need to stop hiding what we're dealing with. And we need to deal with it together. And so my final sum up statement of everything that we've already talked about is it is so important that we examine ourselves. If you walk away with anything else from this message, from this passage, examine yourself. Take some time to figure out where in my life do I spend more time judging others to make myself feel better about myself than I do loving them, forgiving them, showing them grace, and ultimately praying that they would come to the knowledge and the salvation of Jesus Christ. And the only way we can have other people be convinced of the forgiveness of Jesus is if we forgive them, if we walk in forgiveness of others. It's the only way that other people are going to experience or see that the forgiveness of Christ is valid. And so let us be critical of our own sins. Let us address our own sins. Let's confess our sins one to another and pray for healing as we're told in the book of James. Well, I hope this has been an awesome Sunday with the snow outside. I hope everyone gets lots of rest. And I hope this has been encouraging. Feel free to share this, to comment on it, or whatever you want to do. But I love you, and I'm going to pray for you.